Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Paul Hawksby
and Andy Jacobs.
And welcome to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We're quite a few studio guests in. Andy, what floated your boat today? What did you like?
Well, I enjoyed meeting young Dean Ahmed.
Yeah.
A man wise beyond his years, I would say.
Yeah, he, a man who became a sports agent aged 15. No, blimey. No. And he's in The Apprentice at the moment. That's where you may know the name from. Also, we were joined by Woody and Kleine, who were on Britain's Got Talent. But since then, they've become kind of Instagram, YouTube sensations. And we've met Woody before, as you will discover.
That's right.
Here.
Nearly 8 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy. We have slightly differing views this, but I think a lot of people will have.
Everybody wants their fourpence worth and or tuppence worth. I don't know how much.
The old money, yeah.
Exactly. And everybody's going to have a different view on it. Mm. Personally, me, I wouldn't have handled it that way. I would have just sat them down, got them to shake hands, sorted it all out, fined Sterling for his indiscretion, and then moved on. I think he's made it worse by doing this,
right?
But there you go.
There is a danger to that, of course. He's someone who witnessed generations of good England players not turn it on collectively as a team because there were these kind of schisms, these problems with the squad where players from one club wouldn't talk to another. And I think he's very aware of that. He's talked a lot about it. And it's one of those line in the sand things. So when someone brings club football to international
England
football,
I think he finds it difficult. I'm not saying Sterling was right. Sterling has admitted himself that he was wrong.
I think looking at it this morning before you said to me you thought he'd got it wrong, I thought everybody had come out of it very well. I thought Southgate had been very strong on it. And you've managed people, I've managed people, and you've got to do what you think is right, ultimately.
Right. Yeah, sure.
You've got to stand by that. Mm-hmm. So he was strong and he made a stand for all the reasons I just said. Sterling was right because he didn't sort of flounce off. He didn't go to somebody in the press. He didn't get his agent on the case. He said, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. I shouldn't have done it. So he's been adult about it as well.
I would have had a little bit of license because he's done so much good work for England on the field and off the field. All right, he made a mistake. I'm not sure I'd make him miss the 1,000th game. It's quite a big game to miss. It's going to be, England still need the points.
I just think
he could have fined him and he could have told him off and they could have got together. They've both made it up. I think that could have happened. I just think he escalated it by banning him from the game.
That's the flip side of what would have happened is they try and deal with it in-house. The word gets out that there was quite a nasty flare-up because it sounds like it wasn't great grabbing him by the throat.
But
3 o'clock this afternoon, they say, Gareth, we understand there was a bit of a problem with Joe Gomez and Raheem Sterling. He says, it was nothing. It was handbags.
No, he could say, I got them together. I fined Raheem because I thought he was out of order, and now we all move on. I just wouldn't have banned him from the game. I just think it was an unnecessary escalation, that's all.
To the other players, you are damned if you do and damned if you don't, aren't you? Because he doesn't do anything, and players say, Raheem, he's one of his favourites. I wouldn't have got away with that. He did. The flip side of that is players get around and say, I thought that was a bit over the top. He's a good lad, Raheem. He did say sorry. And they've said what you said. So it's quite difficult. All Gareth Southgate can do is what he thinks is right as the man manager.
We can
all disagree, but he's got to stand or fall on that. And I think it would have been difficult for him, whatever he'd done. So
it was a difficult situation. And
we've seen the little scratch. There's this tiny little scratch that they've shown a close-up on Joe Gomez's face. This is a bloke who plays against Ashley Barnes.
Chris Wood or something.
Chris Wood. Do you know what I mean? Somebody who'll give you a bit of a workout physically. I think Joe Gomez won't be rushing off enough to have that bit of TCP on that one. I think he'll live, whatever went on.
He will. Should wish David English well, actually. I got an email from
Lord Bunbury. He's not been well, has he?
Not been well, but I think gather he's on the mend, or I hope he is. I don't know, he'll be listening, so we send our love to him, as we always do.
He just got his 100th Bunbury. So keep Murray was the 100th Bunbury to play for England. So Dave, a very speedy recovery to you.
And a very strange picture of Boris Becker in the paper today. And I thought he was hard up for money. He certainly wasted some buying a terrible coat that he's wearing with a sort of...
Let's have a look,
It's like a fox round him, basically, without the head.
Yes, it does. It's not,
The Queen wouldn't wear that. She said, I've had enough of fur.
I hope that's not real fur. He's in enough trouble already.
Definitely real.
You really?
Oh, of course.
It looks like somebody's got a face on it. It's not good, is it?
Yeah.
It's a collar with a face on it.
It's not a good look, is it?
It's almost, if you can see it moving, if it's like a magic eye picture. Yeah, it's not. That's not a good coat, is it?
Doesn't go with that coat either.
Not a good coat at all. Well, you're the fashionista, Andy.
And Kieran Trippier has been speaking in the paper today. He did an interview in The Guardian with Sid Lowe. He said he's revealed that Diego Costa's nickname for him is Rooney.
Yeah, that's not very original, is it?
No, but he just does it all the time and just calls him Rooney. Like that sort of footballer's witless humour where you keep doing the same joke over and over. It's almost about bullying, really. But he says he likes it. And he said everybody else calls him Rooney now. So.
Oh, okay. Does he mind or what?
I don't think he does. He says he's loving every moment, and he just said he's quite happy with it. He doesn't
mind.
You know, he's got to say that it's all right. I do love it when people go wrong on social media and everybody piles in. Stella McCartney. She did actually one, to be fair to her, she did one nice message about Remembrance Day. But she sort of did, so honoured to have the HRH Duchess of Sussex in our autumn coat, autumn 19 coat at the Remembrance Day service. And of course, people piled
so the
in.
So the feeling was she was trying to flog coats on Remembrance Day.
Basically, yes.
Okay, yeah.
And she deleted it. So
okay, fair enough.
Various people
just
said
sure she didn't
Remembrance Day is not
everybody
used.
Can make a mistake, even
Sterling. No, I know, that's social media for you. It gets you into trouble.
That's right.
And Alberto Salazar is going to be appealing at the Court of Arbitration for Sport about his 4-year ban. Honestly, if he's found guilty, I hope they make it an 8-year ban or life.
Right, okay.
Yeah, definitely. But you know, he might be innocent, so he might.
Yeah, he could be beautifully brought back.
Thank you very much.
We should. Richie Tao scored a great goal the other day.
Did he?
Yeah, he earned Salford a replay against Burton in the FA Cup, and I thought, should he ever want to stray from the world of football, maybe Richie Tao would like to have a career in TV.
Of course he would.
So, if you've got any suggestions for Richie, let us know. I was thinking throw in the towel, which is like a sort of challenge Annika. It's like a Nick Knowles garden thing, you know what I mean? So you think, oh, we've had a lot of problems, this has happened, that happens, you know, but, oh, let's throw in the towel. And then Richie comes in and makes things happen. I don't know. Anyway, TalkSport.com, text 81089.
Towie, that's his nickname.
Towie. It would be Towie, yeah. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH and J if you want to weigh in with a few of those this afternoon.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, you may well know Woody and Kleine from social media, from Instagram and YouTube, where they've been a huge success. You may remember them from Britain's Got Talent. If you love the film In the Hands of the Gods about the freestylers who went off to track down Diego Maradona, then you'll probably know Woody from that. We're delighted to say they've joined us in the studio. They have old media, a book. Remember books?
I remember books.
Yeah, those were the days. The Social Struggle, how we took over the internet. Boys, good afternoon. Good to see you.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having us. Yeah. Thanks for having us.
So why have you gone down the book route? Because you're very much a kind of modern phenomenon, but here we are with, say, old media.
Yeah, do you know what? Because, we're all about bridging the gap between everything we could possibly can sort of thing. And this was an opportunity for us to do something and be able to put something out there that we're really proud of, what everyone can kind of connect with, because obviously you could do the hard copy, got the audio and so on, so we're going to kind of cover every angle with it. So we thought, by getting a book out there, we could do that, you know.
How did you boys meet then, Clanny? How did you kind of become mates?
So we met years ago, as long as I can remember, just through family friends, through my cousin Adam. We was originally football freestylers. So we used to do all the football tricks. We was on Britain's Got Talent, and then I got a really bad back injury. And it kind of put me out of football freestyle as well. And me and Woody kind of looking at each other, was doing the double act thing. We wanted to stay together. And we was like, where do we go? And we decided there was, you know, to go down the entertainment route, the kind of comedy route. And we saw a gap in the market on social media, and we didn't look back, you know. So.
Did it take off? I mean, you've said it didn't take off immediately. The book is, it's called The Social Struggle, because, you know, you can. We were talking about this last week, weren't we? We had somebody's written a book, Sarah McCorkadale, about kind of
influences.
And you know, it's quite a difficult thing to pull off. If you're too cynical about it, saying, okay, we're going to go and we're going to do that, people won't always buy it.
It's deliberately trying to go viral and never happens.
You have to buy into the authenticity of it, don't you?
100%. I mean, look, The Social Struggle is, it's our journey. And it's about, obviously, the trial, tribulations, the hard times. And it has been a struggle. I mean, me and Klein have been doing this for 6-7 years. And a lot of people see on social media all the happiness. It's very easy to create this sort of this front page of everything's great, everything's rosy, and everything's easy and happy and so on. But the truth to it is that it's been an absolute grind, you know. I mean, we worked for free for the best part of 5 years before we even got our first paid job. And a lot of people are like, you're going to continue doing this. You're going to continue keep pushing on something that you're not actually making a living from. But we really believed in the dream, and we believed that it was a struggle we was going to go through in order to get there. You know, nothing comes easy. And we really portray that in the book, you know, to let people know what it takes to actually reach your goals. And we went from zero to over 10 million followers. And
so you should give us the numbers. What, I mean, Instagram and YouTube, what are we talking about then, boys?
Yeah, so on Instagram, go on, Clients.
We've got nearly 5 million on Instagram now, around 2.2 on YouTube, sorry. Mm-hmm. And on Facebook, around 3.5, nearly 4 million. So we're just going to keep on growing now, and we don't want to stop. We haven't got to like a certain level, and we're like, we're happy with that. We want to get to, you know, 20 million, 30 million, and then try and bridge the gap between social media and TV. We're looking to go into some TV stuff now as well.
Do you need to? I mean,
I just want to know how easy is it to monetize all this? Because you can get these big figures, but
well, I think those sorts of figures probably quite easy.
You say that it's still hard, you know. I mean, even when we had 1 million across all platforms, we were struggling to monetize, and now it's getting a bit easier. You know, it's getting easier. We're monetizing through advertisements on like YouTube and Facebook, and then you get brand deals as well. So you get brands coming to you; they want to put your brands in their brand in their video, in our video, sorry.
Yeah,
and that's how we make money. But it's tough. The brands are very specific about what go. Sorry, the brands are specific. Sorry about. What goes in the content, you know? They don't want certain pieces of our content where we're pranking, they might not like that.
They don't want it to reflect badly on what they're doing. So, I mean, that's the thing. It's a trade-off, isn't it? Because, as we said, authenticity, so the people that follow you have an expectation of the sort of things you do. They don't want that watered down by the brand. So you have to find a balance, don't you?
100%.
People. So what was the breakout bit of content then, Woody? What was the one? Was there something you thought you got some real traction out of, and you look back and you say, that was the moment it started to turn and it started to take off for us?
Yeah, there really is, you know. I mean, we've been obviously making all sorts of types of content. I mean, we've got like 10 different strands of types of content what we deliver. So that ranges from being like sketches, pranks, reality, I said sketches already, sorry, visual effects, magic and so on. And this one video we did, we were shooting it over the course of a long period of time, but it was called Can It Swim? So basically it would be me grabbing an item of Kleinies and vice versa and throwing it towards water and being like, can it swim? And then him having to save it. So it could be a phone, could be a wallet, could be his expensive pair of trainers.
It was an expensive video.
And it just when we uploaded it, it just got such an amazing reaction. It ended up going like super viral. And then people were trying it all over the world. Every time we walk down the street, someone's like coming up to us saying, hey, can it swim? Trying to grab stuff off us and throw it at us and what have you.
Yeah,
it's all good fun and games.
21 million people. I've just had a look, watch that video so far.
Yeah,
it's amazing. So,
it's amazing.
I mean, one of our biggest videos on Facebook's done 222 million views. So it's something we're pretty proud of.
You've got your own, you talk about brand, you've got your own brand, haven't you? You're both there in your LUC sweatshirt.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, social media has allowed us to do that, which is crazy. It's allowed us to create our own clothing line now. And the message behind it is, you know, let us create. You know, for those who kind of just want to step outside their comfort zones and create their own reality. And, you know, over the years of going back to brands, was working with a lot of brands, and they were like, you got to do this, you got to do that, blah, 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 blah. And we was like, no, let us create. You know, yeah. We know our audience, yeah. We know our followers.
Well, that's, so, I think they'd be mad to do good, otherwise. Otherwise, what are they buying into you for?
Exactly, really? Yeah.
I think it's interesting in the book where you talk about when you first did it, you know, you thought it was good, but now when you look back, you realise that it was rubbish. You've learned and developed a lot, which is great, I think.
It's all about evolving, we feel. And we've evolved so much over the last 7 years. And we look back at some of the content we was producing, you know, 6 years ago, and we're like, what was we doing? Yeah.
At the time, you think it's great. That's the thing about it.
But enough people enjoyed it, so keep it going, so that's good.
Do you need TV? I mean, it seems like a daft thing to say, but then you talk about having control creatively. I mean, that gets more difficult sometimes in TV. Yeah. And, you know, you've got the control at the moment. You've got that control that you may not get elsewhere.
If you think brands interfere, try commissioning editors.
Tell me about it.
The thing is, I mean, me and Kleine, it's from the start, and the reason we got into social media is because we wanted to go into that industry, and we had no weight in the industry because we had no following or anything like that. We got turned down by everyone we contacted, agencies, media agencies and everything. And we was like, basically, if we just thought, you know what, let's start our own social medias. Let's basically do the sort of stuff that we get a kick out of, create our own audience, and then people have to take notice if we're able to grow it to a certain level. And that's exactly what we've done now. And it's amazing because people are coming our way and headhunting us for different things because we've got that there and we've kind of proven that it works sort of thing. So then it's a chance for us to bridge the gap because I think that, like, look, the numbers do speak for themselves, and we can make a scary amount of money doing what we're doing from social media. But for us, it's not just about money. It's about being credible and kind of following the dream that we had at the beginning as well, and bridging that gap. And no one's really bridged the gap completely in the way that we want to. And that's exactly what we're setting out to do and we want to achieve. So we'll be social media first, but we've got our first TV show coming out after Christmas, which we started. Can't tell you too much more.
But that's what we found difficult, didn't we? Going back to the whole control thing what we create, we have control in everything we do. If we film something and we don't like it, we don't put it out.
Yeah.
When we was on the TV show, that's what we found difficult. It's like, we have no control right now.
Yeah.
What we're saying, you know, what we're doing is down to the producers and the editors.
And we shot a little bit on the beach, and then I'll never forget it. Kleine was like, he went to camera, can I have a quick look back at those rushes? Me, what have you? And this is like in the early days of filming out with them, and it was like, excuse me?
Just
have a little look.
Look to retain as much creativity as you can, I think.
What's the pause challenge?
Well, that's a trend we created. Go on, clients, tell them about it.
The pause challenge, I don't know how we come up with it, but we just started pausing each other in strange scenarios, you know? Mm. So Woody could be pouring some milk into a glass, and I'd be like, pause. And then while he's paused, obviously the milk's going into the carpet overfills, you know?
But once you've committed to the pause challenge, you're in. If you bought into it, lads, if I point the controller at you and I pause you, I don't care who's listening, mate, you're paused.
This radio show stops.
I'm trying that with you, Evan, and you're halfway through having a Jimmy, but it's never going to work, is it? Good luck pausing.
I won't be
able
to tell the difference, to be really honest. We won't go there.
Just very quickly, 12 years ago, you came in with Ben Winston and Ben and Game Turner when you're making it, and you launched the film In the Hands of the Gods, and you were one of the lucky ones, Woody, when you got to meet Diego, didn't you? Did you got to that final stage?
I can actually now reveal that. You know what? It got a little bit emotional.
You did get emotional, didn't you?
And we travelled halfway across the world, and it took us a long time to do it, and it was all worth it for 4 minutes and 31 seconds exactly.
It's a wonderful film.
It is. I mean, going to the boys freestyle, and you'll know, a lot of people will know Jezza as well. They know Jeremy Lynch, won't they, from the work he does in freestyling. So guys all, there's some familiar faces there. But yeah, a bunch of mates all went off and freestyled, paid their own way, busking, if you like, freestyling to get the money to meet Diego.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what? It's good that, I mean, you mentioned that in a way, because it was that journey what kind of fueled a lot of the things which I did afterwards. And obviously we're going back like 12 years now and what have you. And like, I relate that now to mine and Kleine's journey in terms of what we're doing. And it really set the store for me and proved to me that dreams do come true if you want them to and what have you. And it all comes down to what you're prepared to do in order to achieve it. And blood, sweat and tears kind of were given to the cause in order to do what we did there. And we got to our goal. And well, I certainly did anyway, and, and experienced one of the best moments of my life. And that's why I knew, setting out on this journey with Kleinie, doing what we're doing in social media, I knew we could make it. And we were going, I'm talking years, you know, it took us like 4 years to get to like 50,000 followers on YouTube. We gained that sometimes
quite
hard in a day.
To keep going. I mean, when you say 4 years, it's a short sentence, but that's a long time.
If you're banging the door and it's not really happening. But
100%.
Well, you know you've arrived when you're turning on the Christmas lights in Welling Gardens.
Yes.
So that's don't worry about anything
else. I do like the way you commit to it. I'm just watching it in the middle of the Paul's Challenge. You're in a shop and you've actually got the remote with you.
Yeah.
Oh, outside in the shop, in the sweet shop. Yeah.
If that gets whipped out, then ultimately we've got to go with it.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
I was going to say the only thing is now we've opened a can of worms because we're out and about now.
And people kids, do that to you.
Yeah, kids are coming up to us. They're like, pause, and we've committed.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you've got to go with it.
How long are you there? You've got to be there for hours.
Yeah.
You don't do rewind as well, do you? I mean, that would be a fast forward.
We've done fast forward actually.
Yeah. We've done a few of them, but that one in particular actually trended. So obviously to kind of create a viral trend is a huge thing, and we ended up jumping off the back of our own trend because of the amount that you can grow off of these videos. You know. So people are searching for it and stuff, and it's quite a proud fit, something we're really proud of.
Well, and they aren't getting any younger. I can say that because I know they're in Australia. but
they're unbelievable, them lads.
Yeah, they are. They're good lads. Yeah. Well, look, we wish you well, boys. Thank you. It was good to see you again, Willie. Thank you very much.
Klein.
We never got around to talking about Spurs and Arsenal, but that's probably just as well at the moment for both of us.
No, fair play.
Yeah.
But look, if anyone wants to buy the book, they literally just go onto Amazon, click the type in the Social Struggle or Woody and Kleinie, and it comes straight up, sort of thing.
Plenty of pictures there, but maybe you could go down the same route. We were talking about that the other day. A few pointers, but you've got to put the hours in. So good to see you, boys. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Floodlitdreams.com. The publishers of the book, The Social Struggle, Woody and Klein. It's Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport.
The Hawksby and Jacobs daily podcast from TalkSport.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Right, I'm fascinated by this headline in the Sun this morning. Fed up refs in VAR turmoil. Fuming Premier League refs fear VAR is making them look foolish. You think, well, you're the ones that are running it. What are you talking about? Brilliant, isn't it?
Well, no.
One day it's Michael Oliver on the pitch, but the next day it's Michael Oliver at Stockley
Park. I think the point is that they're being told what to do. They have a gaffer that is telling them how they should work the process. And that's what's making them look stupid. And I think they've got a point.
Other fans are now calling it LAR rather than VAR. Liverpool Assisted Review.
The Sheffield United fans the other day were calling it FVAR.
Oh, I see.
And we agree with them. They got a round of applause for that.
This, honestly, Trev in South Shields wrote to the Daily Star today. He said, if a Man City player had handled the ball in the area twice and fouled a Liverpool player in the box, wouldn't Mike Riley have given pens? You think, well, not really. He's the boss of the rest. He wasn't on the pitch. You mean Michael Oliver?
Yeah.
Brilliant, these people. Well done.
But hearing a few stories at the, I don't know the strength of this, but the documentary that's unfolding at Tottenham is not I think the few of the players are not massively enamoured with when it's not going well having a camera stuck
in
their face.
That's not a good idea, though. How much money can this company be paying?
Yeah.
It can't be worth it, this.
I mean, yeah, there's just a little whisper I hear, but I'm sure no one will tell us otherwise. But
we'll see. You know, the last thing
you
want
always feel
when
that. When it's not happening,
of course.
It must compound it, mustn't it, if you're having a bit of a tough time.
Yeah, it's one thing if you've just beaten Man City 3-1, you go back in the dressing room and you're all elated. If you come off a sort of grim 1-1 against Sheffield United where you should have lost.
You should have been outplayed, yeah. Film that. Yeah. So anyway, maybe Tottenham will sign Richie Tao, or maybe it will do more work in TV, such as Tao Me Dry, Gareth Gives Up Drink in November. Or Tao Bale. Gareth swapped teams for a month from Madrid to Salford, says Ben in London. He's on fire today. He's got so many formats. What else have we got? Where's this one? Eiffel Towel, where Paul Eiffel and Richie Towel go up the Eiffel Tower stating facts about it. That's quite a limited format, I'd say.
I can't see
a lot of people. Liam from Sheffield, but thank you for it. Yeah.
There's a new, soon it'll be Thanksgiving in America. We don't do it here. Only a
matter of time they'll be doing that. Yeah.
And Pringles, the well-known snack company, have brought out a most unfortunate, I'm sure it was a good idea in the
turkey with all the trimmings or something?
Well, what it is, it's that thing, you know when you... Is it called cockatrice? Where you take a big
bird. Cockatrice, yeah, that's right.
You take a big bird, then you stuff it with another bird, and then you stuff it with another bird like that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
So it's basically a chicken inside a duck inside a turkey. So they've
made it crisp.
Yeah. Blimey, they've made a limited edition flavour that's supposed to mimic the three bird banquet, and it's called turd duckin.
it's called what?
Turd duckin.
Turd, yeah, okay. Yeah. It looks better in print, I think, than saying it.
The steam looks terrible in print.
Yeah.
I'm not eating those.
Okay, well, you've got to give them a try, Andy.
Well, I'm
sure you could knock up a cock in trees for your Christmas guests, wouldn't you? Sure, you definitely could.
I don't know. It always looks incredibly difficult. You need a good butcher, in fact.
Of course, Dave, this is a touch laboured. Dave in Manchester. Mm. Richie and Nicole Scherzinger set sail across the world's oceans in the towel and the pussycat doll went to sea in a beautiful pea green boat. God, blimey, Dave. Laboured.
I like it.
Thank you, though. Thank you. Very good.
But talking of eating, I love this latest bit of pointless health advice. This is when they sort of say things like short people are more prone to something or other. You think, well, what am I going to do about that? I'm not going to be able to get tall, am I?
Yeah,
this is another one. This is eating dinner after 6 p.m. may increase heart disease risk. We just have dinner at 5 o'clock.
Well, you've got a bit of control. It's not like being short is having your dinner early, Andy. That doesn't make any sense.
So you're invited to a posh do.
I can make it, but only at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Would you
mind serving dinner at 6 o'clock?
10 to 6, but I'll have to eat it very quickly. Be great. I'll have to just shovel it in. Put all three courses up and give me a shovel.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Our occasional series, I bet he's fun to have a pint with, where we look at the interests of certain people and think, if you were trapped in the corner of a pub with them, would it be difficult for you? And so we turn then to George Capenchi, 57, who has spent 14 years and more than £10,000 on a collection of 1,000 Oyster cards.
God.
So there you are, you're in the pub and George sidles over and he says, what about,
they're all the same.
My Oyster cards. I've got. No, they've got a few. I didn't think they had as many as 1,000 special editions. But
really?
And you'd say, this one's the kind of light blue, dark blue one. And that's another light blue, dark blue. And that's. Yeah, there's been five different kinds, and he's got 1,000. 995 of which are bog standard.
I'm not going out for a drink with him.
We should wish a very happy birthday to our worthy constituent, Jason Cundy.
Yes.
One of our co presenters here, of course. He is 50 years old today. What about?
Congratulations,
Jason. I'll always have that goal against Ipswich from a Spurs point of view. He's given us the odd clip, hasn't he?
He has.
Given us the odd clip, Jay, over the years. And one thing he's always been great at is impressions. He always wows us. It's like having Luke Kempner John Coleshaw in
the
room at all times.
I can't tell the difference.
Well, his Cluffy is brilliant, and his Chris Eubank is stunning. So let's enjoy those once again.
A famous quote from Brian Clough during a training exercise. You want bloody shooting, you know? Do you remember that quote?
Do you want to take us to the break with the Eubank impression?
I'll be doing this and Andy's a little bit later.
And it's both bad.
That's actually better than the other first.
That was Welsh, wasn't
Welsh,
it?
Welsh Brian Clough.
It was a Welsh Brian Clough that he did there.
Good old
anyway,
Jason.
Happy birthday, Jason. Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, if you're watching The Apprentice on Fox Series 15, wow.
I know.
Sir Alan came in, didn't he?
Yeah, before he was Lord.
Before he was, yeah, he came in and before the first series, actually. Of course, a guy called Donald Trump did the first one in the States. What happened to him? But anyway, Dean Ahmad is in the series, if you're watching The Apprentice at the moment, and he has sporting connections. He is a sports agent, and we're very pleased to say he joined us now. Dean, good to see you.
Likewise. Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
What's the whole kind of apprentice thing like to be involved with? I mean, what's the kind of audition process? How long ago was it when you first signed up?
Oh, I think it was, what, going back to January now. Mm. It is a crazy experience. Best thing I've ever done, and it is so intense. I think some people don't realise just how intense it is. You've got no phone, you're away from your family, and, you know, you're in that isolated environment. But best thing I've ever done.
Really?
What made you decide to do it in the end?
I mean, for me, it was all about business. I wanted to, you know, I want to win that 250K. And, you know, I'm very hopeful of that. So, fingers crossed.
That's good.
What was your route into sports management? Your fine edge cricket is your business, isn't
That's it? That's
it,
yeah, yeah. So, I started my business at 15. I mean, I naively messaged someone on LinkedIn. It was two English coaches, Ian Pont, Julian Fountain. Hmm? Managed to get them a gig in the Pakistan Super League. Went out during my half term.
That's
and
amazing.
Just networked, really. Worked my socks off. And obviously, in the last 2-3 years, bigger clients. And, you know, it's what I do full time now.
How could you have that credibility at 15 to pull something like that off? You just need a bit of chutzpah, I take it.
Certainly do.
Yeah, it had its challenges, right? And, you know, some people make certain judgments when you're 15, 16. I was a bit lucky. Maybe I looked a bit older. But, you know, in the last 2-3 years, it's become a lot more serious. And, you know, my age is probably more of a positive.
Yeah. You've been done some work with Ravi Bapara and Herschel Gibbs and others. Sort of big hitters in the game you've been able to work with.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I'm only 20, but I've been doing it for 5 years now, so I'm pretty experienced. Everyone knows me in the industry. I know people in the industry, so, you know, I enjoy it. And it's what I do, as I said, full time now.
And Ravi's move, we were saying, wasn't he? His move counted after having a brilliant season for us.
He has. So that was a big move, big talking point. But look, I think he made his statements very clear. He's got some ambitions, and, you know, I'm very hopeful that he'll achieve them.
Yeah.
And still playing around the world, playing franchise cricket.
Oh, Ravi's, I mean, his talent speaks for itself. His track record, played all around the world. Incredibly talented player. So, you know, fingers crossed, good luck to him for his Sussex move.
So what's your story then? How did you, what made you go into that area of things? Are there other things you'd weighed up in the past? What made you suddenly move into sports management at that age?
Yeah, so I've always loved two things from an early age. I was that kid selling sweets at school. So, you know, business was always for me. But at the same time, sport, football, cricket, you name it, I loved it. And so I thought at 15, I combined the two. It was the obvious thing for me. I'm a very, you know, a lot of my skills are based around people's skills, etc. And, you know, I haven't looked back ever since. I've loved every single minute of it.
Wow. Are you looking to branch out into other sports as well? Say cricket first love?
Yeah, but... yeah. I've got my football licence now, so that's something I'm slowly going into. When the time's right, I'll start representing players. But at the moment, you know, I'm 5 years into the cricket game, got some big names in my books, so you know, I'm very, you know, humbled.
It's become a more lucrative business, really, cricket agency,
crazy.
Because of the franchise cricket around
it's
the world.
It's absolutely crazy. You've got leagues every single month.
Yeah.
Guys, you know, the IPL being the big one, but even right now, T10's about to start. Ravi's out there in South Africa. Another one of our boys, Mamoun Nawaz, playing for Cape Town. And it's just so lucrative. They play the summer here at the English Boys, and they go around, play around the world.
Yeah. I mean, it's as long as Gladstone Small used to kind of go and sell insurance or something once. Or they'd go and coach, wouldn't they, in Australia or South Africa. They had to have a life outside of cricket.
Really?
I think he did. I think Gladstone did something like that. I think he had like a lot of cricketers, they had proper jobs when the season was over. They had to go and work for a living. So, I mean, but franchise cricket allows them just to keep playing the game very lucratively, basically all around the whole year.
Yeah, and it's an exciting time for English guys as well, with the 100 coming next year. It's got a lot of criticism, but what it's going to do is allow 3 or 4 or 5 English guys, youngsters, to, you know, hopefully play for England and around the world with the best players from around the world. So it's an exciting time for English cricket and sport in general.
What about sort of, I mean, footballers do a lot of sort of image right work and stuff away from the sport. Is that the same in cricket?
Yeah, definitely. So it's not as highlighted, but that as an agency, as an agent, we're trying to highlight that. You know, say, you know, whoever signs a contract for 100K, we would argue that 100K might not just be for performance, it could also be for their image rights. And so we would argue that, yeah.
What about financial management? Because, I mean, we heard all the stuff with Saracens and whatever happens with it. In the end, what Nigel Ray was trying to do, in one sense, was it not for the other clubs and all this, but was a good thing for the players. I mean, you know, making that transition from playing to retirement is never easy. So do you get involved with that sort of financial planning and that sort of thing?
Athletes in any sport have such a short career, so it's our responsibility to make sure they're well advised and for the long term, whether that means getting their coaching badges, whether that means setting them up for another career. I know a lot of cricketers who've gone into, you know, financial services, property stuff, so it's our responsibility to make sure that they're well skilled and well prepared.
Dean, we've not seen a great deal of this series, we'll be honest, myself and Andy, so we don't know whether you've had that moment in the boardroom yet with Lord Sugar.
It's been a roller coaster, I tell you that. I've been in the bottom three times so far.
Have you?
Last week he flipped a coin, so he's fired someone, right, Aisha, and then he gets a coin out of his pocket, and I'm thinking Lord Sugar's going to flip a coin to see who he's going to fire out of me and someone else, Lottie.
Yeah.
And luckily it weren't that, it was about who he was going to make PM. He said Dean, what side are you calling? I said heads, and it was heads, so pressure's on this week because
what does that mean? Project manager. Prime Minister.
They're not Prime Minister.
Not
no.
Quite.
He doesn't have that power.
Maybe one day, fingers crossed. Yeah.
It's hard being the project manager because you often take the blame, don't you, if it goes horribly wrong.
And as I said, I've been in there three times, so fingers crossed the pressure's on. But
that moment when you walk out and you've basically, you and the other person that survived goes out, because or you and you've stiffed somebody in the ballroom and they've been fired, and then you have to go outside and do that kind of slightly fake hug where you say goodbye to them. That's sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Occasionally you get the cold shoulder.
I mean, I made some lifelong friends in there, and I got on well with everyone pretty much. So, you know, it's always difficult, and you know, some people say, oh, is it real, the whole boardroom thing? It's all real. It's so tense. And in the second week, for example, my net was on the line, you know, he was toying about who he was going to fire, and you know, luckily it weren't me, but you know, it just shows it's how real it was. My face, I literally look like I'm about to cry.
So, of course, he's not the same off air as he's all warm and calm.
It's like a completely different man. He's so cuddly. He's like a big. He does look like Nookie the bear.
Not at all.
He's exactly the same, isn't he? I mean, people ask me what he's like. He's exactly like how he comes across.
Yeah, of course. When the cameras stop rolling, we've met him a few times. It's slightly turned up to 11, but still.
Look, 250K is a lot of money, so you know, I can understand him. He wants to judge everyone, test people's character, their business acumen, and for me, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, for a bloke like you, he is kind of a role model, isn't he? He's a self-made man. He's done brilliantly, you know. So
exactly.
So of course, a man with a background in sport.
That's
right. And a few West Ham players, you'll be tapping up Karen Brady.
I've got a great relationship with Karen, and obviously I've built that relationship with her. So what she's done at West Ham is pretty incredible. So
brilliant.
Well, look, we wish you well for the rest
of the series, Dean.
And as far as this interview goes, Dean, you're fired.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Good to see you. Dean Ahmed, sports agent, and still very much in The Apprentice. So keep an eye out for him.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
That's it. That's this afternoon's show. We return tomorrow from 1. And as always, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.